Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Did you guys see those pictures that were around yesterday, the tornado in Montebello?
That looks scary.
That was crazy.
I actually thought of you because you get scared of all that stuff
just
when it doesn't make any sense. Well, that's one that doesn't make any sense.
I worry about fires and mudslides and earthquakes and the last few months flooding and all those things. Yeah. But typically tornadoes in SoCal are not something that you
gotta
concern yourself with.
Add that to the list.
Did you ever get a tornado in Iowa? Taylor, is that a regular part of your life?
Yeah, we'd go to the basement for tornado warnings a lot when I was a little kid. I had a little bag packed with my favorite stuffed animals and stuff.
Was it just a thing that you just had? And like, okay, we're going to the basement, tornado watch.
Summertime, yep, tornadoes all the time.
We had a lot in Virginia, too.
Really?
Yeah, we had like a lot of times it happened in the summer in Virginia. Like, go to the basement, same thing. Gets really scary. My mom, so she went to medical school, veterinary school at Purdue in Indiana, and she, for a long time, didn't know what the tornado sirens were about.
They're loud.
Yeah, so they're loud, and she just, like, didn't react the first time and almost got caught in a tornado, so that's bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I go to the kitchen. I don't know where to go.
We don't have basements
here.
Go to
the hallway.
There's bathtub. That's a good idea.
Bathtub.
Yeah.
That's
it.
Now we got those chintzy bathtubs that are, like, made out of fiberglass. Like, the idea was
that
made
you,
out
man.
Of cast iron, and you couldn't pick.
We have glass sliding doors. That's not going to help.
Is the best thing. So if it's like a closet on the ground floor with no windows, too, is helpful. Anywhere that
closet,
you don't
closet.
have a window.
Yeah.
No, I'm just going.
How far are you from Disneyland?
20 miles.
Okay.
25.
Going to Disneyland right after the show.
What?
Yeah.
Well, who are you going with?
So I got my sister's family is down there. So they went this morning.
Okay.
And I'm just going to go meet them down there. Get there probably about 2:30 and spend the rest of the day with them.
That's not your jam. We've talked about this before. You're kind of lukewarm on the whole Disneyland experience.
So this will be okay because, first off, it's about half a day, less than even half a day, right? There's going to be dinner involved, so I don't have to
be
there.
The Blue Bayou?
I have no idea. wherever my nieces decide to pick, which
Carnation?
Is probably going to be, one of those.
There's only like five places there. You could go to the Country Critter Jamboree. They got burgers there, Sleeve. It's pretty good.
We could go off, as in take off from Disneyland and go eat somewhere, but that's like a real sales job there. I'm really putting together a presentation.
Then you got to go back in, especially.
They'll be done.
Oh,
so then they'll just go down to San Diego.
You were talking about like leave and come back in. That's a whole nother thing.
Yeah. So
you're going to take in Space Mountain? What are you going to do?
I'll do Space Mountain. I like Space Mountain. People make fun of Space Mountain.
Why?
I don't know.
Who makes fun of Space Mountain?
I have one buddy that's like, Pirates of the Caribbean is so much better. I'm like, no, it's not.
Depends on what we're doing.
Nine?
So here's the thing. It depends on who we're with and what we're doing.
Yeah.
Adult Travis has a different take on it than like teenage Travis.
Yep.
Teenage Travis, we want to do Space Mountain, you want to do Thunder Mountain, you want to do the Matterhorn, you want to do all those kind of things, right? That because they're fast and it's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Adult Travis, big fan of Pirates of the Caribbean. Here's why. It's like 15 minutes long and it's air conditioned, right? So you go inside and you float
today
around.
Today shouldn't be an issue with it.
What's that?
Air conditioning thing, you don't need it today. It's not going to be
not
bad.
Today, but I'm saying,
but in general, going
in
to
general,
Disneyland.
Anaheim can get kind of hot and you're inside. This is why I remember when I'd go with my folks when I was a kid and they'd want to go to the Tiki Room. And I'm like, the Tiki Room's so cheesy. It's like talking totem poles and singing plants and birds.
But
like,
they had a game plan.
But what I didn't realize at the time, it's dark and it's air conditioned and it's long. That's what you're looking for when you're an adult. And when you're 8 years old, you'll stand in line for the Autopia for 2 hours and not give it a second thought. You're going to drive a car. I get to do it. As an adult, you're like, I drive a car every day. I don't need to do this. I want to go sit in an air-conditioned dark room. It's a very different experience.
I haven't been to Disneyland since definitely pre-COVID. So we're talking at least probably been 4 or 5 years since I've been down
there. I've been once
maybe 4 years.
COVID. I like it. I have very fond memories of it. My kids love it. They still like it, even though they're mostly adult at this point. We always have a good time.
Yeah. One of the things a lot of people, obviously in Southern California, you get the season pass. I know people that go for like half a day, once a month.
Yeah.
Right? Like they just kind of make it a reoccurring thing.
There was some guy that pre-pandemic had been like, I don't know what it was, 900 this. Days, yep. more than that. It was years mm-hmm. where he'd gone every single day, and then the pandemic kind of broke his streak.
Yeah, there was someone that was going around recently that wanted to ride every single Disney ride across the world, any ride, and he accomplished it over a period of time. But a reason to go to Disneyland right now, and why it's actually going to probably be pretty fun for you, it's the California Food and Wine Festival. So, like, you get a lot of food, wine, as long as you go to the California Adventure Park side
of it. Yeah,
you got to
be on the other side, right?
Yeah, yeah. So there's
a park hopper.
And I went on March 3rd and had a lot of really fun drinks, food. I think Disney has pretty fun, good food for a amusement park in general, but they stepped it up for this festival.
How late is Disneyland open till?
I'm going to say, what, it's today, Thursday? 11? I'll say 10. My guess would be 10. Oh, no, 10. It's got to be later than 10 because the fireworks go at like 9, 11. I think Emily's probably right there. I got a question for you.
Midnight.
So, is it midnight? Mm-hmm. There you go. Even better. Spend the night. Stay at the California Grand Hotel, which, by the way, great hotel. Great bar down there. Just letting you know, it's not the worst place in the world. Going back to the Lakers, going back to LeBron's return, going back to whether or not he comes back or not. Does the way that these final games play out, do the way that the play-in tournament potentially plays out, does their first-round playoff opponent, the result of that, matter to what they do for next season? Because there are reports out there. There's a report in The Athletic talking about how the Lakers are very unlikely to pursue Kyrie Irving next season, that they're more likely to run this group of guys back, hope everybody gets healthier, gels, blah, blah, blah. But what if they miss? What mm-hmm. if they lose in the play-in? What if they are the eighth seed or the seventh seed and they're five games or four games and they're out right away and it really doesn't come together? Does the result of the next 2 weeks and whatever, however much basketball they get after that, because look, if they get to the Western Conference Finals or maybe even the second round, you're like, yeah, look, this works pretty well. Let's run it back. I think it takes care of themselves. But if they don't get in or lose in the play-in or are a very easy, quick out in the first round,
yeah.
does it change the Kyrie calculus?
So I think it's impossible to think that. I'm going to tell you what I think how the Lakers front office would look at that situation. And then I'll give you my opinion if you want on that. But I think it's impossible to not think that the Lakers front office will not, at least in their mind, say, if Kyrie Irving was on this team and you got rid of D'Angelo Russell, and there's a number of players that they'd basically have to just get rid of in order to make this happen, right?
Just clear enough space.
Clear right? enough space. Yovan Bo has a good article about it in The Athletic that you were talking about. But you're basically going to have to – the concept of building a team is gone again, and now you're basically saying, okay, we got three superstars, which I don't think – I think we'd be mistaking ourselves to not think that Los Angeles Lakers front office, plus LeBron James has won a championship with Kyrie Irving, plus the Lakers were clearly trying to get Kyrie Irving before the trade deadline.
Right.
So I think we'd be crazy to think that that's not a scenario that would play into their mind. Let's say the Lakers are eliminated quick. I think it does add a little bit more of, hey, you know what? The idea was cool. The concept was cool. But if we could go get another top 20, top 15 player in the NBA, just go get him and take your chances. The further they go, the more success that they have, I think it does kind of quiet down some of that conversation. But I don't think it goes away until you have kind of a clear path. Is LeBron cool with what's going on? Is AD cool with what's going on?
I don't think
he
matters at all.
You'd be surprised. I think he does matter.
Why? I mean, I think...
I'll tell you why. Let me tell you why.
Yeah.
Because if he's the second best player, that's what he is. He is the second best player on a championship team. That's what he was back in 2020.
3 years ago.
But he is the concept of a second best player. Even if tomorrow LeBron James decided, I'm done playing basketball, now you're going to try to go find another player that is probably better than Anthony Davis at the best case scenario or as good and say, let's go from there.
Yep.
That's why I think there's some power there.
I think that the writing is very clearly on the wall with the ceiling you have with him as your guy. I think you'd have to be really trying hard not to see it and try to talk yourself into, well, let's get his input because he's the future of the no. LeBron is still that guy, and they make a run, and A run, I think, constitutes the second round and being competitive in it. I don't know if you have to win the second round, but I do think you need to get there, and I think you at least need to look tough, right? Mm-hmm. That, I think, can constitute a run for this team. I think if they have a run, and obviously anything more than that qualifies, then you just kind of say, you know what, let's try it again. Let's give it a full season. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a very easy sales job. And I think that LeBron would probably be on board with that because it's just very obvious. Anything short of that, I think, comes down to what LeBron thinks. I'm not saying that short of it means that he automatically says, give me Kyrie Irving.
But there's weight.
But there's look. I know what Kyrie is. To your point, we did win a title. It's a while ago. Kyrie has become more unpredictable. Mm. Kyrie has become less, less as far as available for, I guess, for a lack of a better
word.
For whatever reasons. Mm-hmm. For all of the, probably, quite frankly, far more than just basketball reasons. But if LeBron wants it, I think it would be very hard not to pursue it. And maybe you couldn't come because the idea of a Kyrie on the Lakers with LeBron is intriguing. Kyrie Irving is terrific. But a long-term Kyrie Irving deal seems like such a bad idea. It seems like such – because this is not one of those cross your fingers and hope it works out. You know it's not at some point. Now, maybe in the short term, you get one. Maybe in the short term, it works perfectly. Maybe in the short term, he and LeBron rekindle the magic they had in Cleveland, and you're like, oh my gosh, we're the best team in the Western Conference all over again. Here we go. But if you have a long-term deal with that dude, something crazy is going to happen because it always does.
And it's so hard to even think. That's the pressure. Obviously, that's the pressure that Kyrie would put on the Lakers is, sure, you want me to come in free agency? Cool. I'm trying to get paid. I'm trying to get a long-term deal. But the idea and the concept of anything long-term with Kyrie is...
would you give him a long-term deal?
No, I would not.
I wouldn't either.
And by the way, on top of that, LeBron's not a long-term player.
Right.
There's only...
But maybe you could get him without it. That's the tricky part, right?
LeBron, let's just say hypothetically, is... Let's say he opts into his contract in the second year. He's got next year, and then he opts into the contract the second year. That's two more full years that you have LeBron James. To think there's a window of Kyrie past that? No, I'm
with you 100% on that. This is from Rich, and Rich writes, guys, you need to abandon this idea that Kyrie will make the Lakers that much better. He won't, and they'll be worse than they were without him. That's the great question, right? I do think they're a lot better with him. The Russell Westbrook thing that clearly didn't work is the fit was dreadful. The fit with LeBron and Kyrie and AD seems really good. There isn't it's a bad mix of ingredients.
Yeah.
That's a really good mix of ingredients. The wild card is not the basketball. It's the dude. It's the guy where you just don't know if he's going to do something wild and crazy. You're like, oh my gosh, what did he post?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean he's not coming to work today? Those are things that have happened.
He's created a narrative that you have hesitation. It has nothing to do with basketball.
But I want to push back a little on that. It's not a narrative. It's a fact. It's mm-hmm. not a story that we've created with these pieces. It's just true.
Mm-hmm.
He's really hard. Difficult in Cleveland. Difficult in Boston. Difficult in Brooklyn. Now, Dallas, it's been pretty short, and it's been mostly good, but there was even that thing he posted. It's like, dude, why are we doing that now? You guys are barely – it's like, just don't do that. Go play.
I think we're all hoping for this. I think if the Lakers are able to make some kind of a run, whatever your definition of a run is, but they're in the playoffs, and then if you're matched up against Denver in the first round – and you lost to the Nuggets, but it could have gone either way. And LeBron, let's say, wasn't there that entire time, right? Like, let's say LeBron is still kind of trying to get his feet back and everything else. But there's enough that you could see and you could say to yourself, guys, let's just start next season with a team. Let's just start next season with a squad. Let's have a little bit of familiarity when you go into training camp. Can you just kind of let this thing marinate a little bit? You can't keep going back to the plant and watering it more and saying, well, where the hell are the oranges, right? Like, you got to, there's a season for it, and it just kind of comes.
Doing.
They have been doing
that's what they've been doing. So but they do it again is not off the option tree.
I don't disagree with you, but if they, let's say, were eliminated in the play-in tournament.
Yeah.
I think that becomes more of a viable – I'm not telling you it's going to happen. I'm just saying that noise might get a little bit louder. I didn't go anywhere. By the way, to create the space that we're talking about, you would renounce the rights to D'Angelo Russell and Rui, decline a team option on Beasley, waive Vanderbilt and Mo Bamba. Lakers could technically keep Reeves and or Vanderbilt, at least one of those players. It sounds like one of the two. Basically what you're saying is,
how can you trade the MVP? or let him walk out to not trade.
Reeves, you might be able
to
keep
leave.
Him. That dude's going to get paid.
The MVP of the team for the last 5 days. And he should get paid. He's won two games virtually by himself along the way. We are within a couple of weeks and less. We're about a week away from opening day in Major League Baseball. Dodgers have some question marks. Who's got the biggest one? That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Kind of a little Hawaiian vibe here, or a little surf vibe. What am I getting here, Taylor?
This is Link Ray. Yeah.
I feel like I'm just kind of watching guys surf and maybe having a burger. I
don't know. Some Hawaiian chips.
Feels chill.
Space Mountain music.
Oh, well, they got kind of like a little rock soundtrack that plays now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they put those speakers like right behind your head.
Yeah, yeah.
That didn't used to be there a million years ago. And it's got like kind of this little bit cosmic, but it's kind of got like this guitar riff through the whole thing that's kind of aggressive. It's fun. I like it.
Slee, why don't you tell them about Six Flags, your family? I know it's kind of out of the way, but
here's the thing. Yeah, I'm an annual pass holder. The nieces, you're talking about second grade and first grade. I don't think they're going to be going on. Any of those big rides. No one in my family.
How old are they? How old are the nieces?
8. And 6.
Ooh, that's the sweet spot.
Yeah, 8 and 6.
But that's a little young spot for the big scary rides.
Yeah, but like for all of the other stuff, it's like the
none
perfect
of my
spot.
Character.
Disney people, do they like Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and all that kind
of
stuff?
Oh, and by the way, my this is actually the first time either of them have been to Disneyland.
Oh,
so this is the first time that they've
been. Oh, beautiful. Awesome.
Which is why
that's really fun.
Go make the trip down there. But you were saying for Six Flags. None of my family likes roller coasters. Nobody does. Growing up, bro, I was scared of all that stuff. Don't get me wrong, I'm still scared of it. Even when I'm on the ride waiting and you're just kind of starting to go up in whatever roller coaster it is, I'm like, you're an idiot. Why are you doing this? And then you kind of start going. But nobody's a big fan of roller coasters.
Speaking of which, I have, I forgot to mention this when we're talking about Disneyland. You need to get a road corn dog. You need to pull an Emily.
Oh, yeah, I got a tweet on that. That confused me. Yeah, now I got it. Lopez. The pieces are back.
So you
got
to get the road corn dog. It's in. It's on Main Street. If you're leaving, you're not facing the castle. You're leaving Main Street.
Okay.
And
left.
It's on your left,
yeah,
and it's a big
it
red wagon, and you can get in line for it. And then road corn dog is perfect thing to do.
You know what else you can get at that exact same spot?
What?
Giant bag of Cheetos.
Oh, yeah. You can. That aren't chips. You know, that's kind of funny because they are the deluxe option as the side to your corn dog.
Look, you may do this just to prove that I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But I think I would bet my car that you will not get a corn dog on your way out of the park.
Or maybe someone in your family
might. Okay, I will say this. I haven't had one in a long time.
You don't strike me as a corn dog guy.
I haven't had one in a long time, but corn dogs are delicious.
They're very good.
And especially those ones. They're like really crunchy
and
big.
They're huge. Yeah. No, they are. You're not wrong.
And you got
to discount
them.
They're going to say, hey, Uncle Al, where are we going to dinner?
The batter and
actually,
that corn
no one
dog,
would be angry.
There's a little honey or something in it. It's a little sweet. It's quite good.
The only person who would get angry in that would be my brother-in-law. It's like, what are you going to feed my kids a corn dog?
Yeah,
like,
all right, get them each one.
Never mind.
Like the six-year-old would probably take her a week to finish that thing. It's like this big. it's gigantic. Just maybe have them split one. Cut it right down the middle so they get like a corn dog boat.
You ever bought something and like you put it in your car? It could be anything. It could be a broom. It could be this or like something that's just too long. and you have to put it in between, like from the driver's seat, that's going to be the corn dog.
Of course. I can't believe it took me this long to think of this. Do you spoil your nieces?
I don't know if spoil, like, give me your definition
of spoil.
I will
buy
them
stuff. Just because.
Yeah,
I will. Just because, yeah. Hey, you want that? I got you. I'll get you that.
Yeah.
Do you buy them stuff that their parents will not buy them?
Like when you go out with Uncle Slee, you're like, oh, we're going to go get french fries.
We're
going to
go get whatever we want, basically.
I'm pretty good at if I know their parents don't want them to have something, then I'll kind of stick to the rules on that.
That's what you do get. My buddy John, when Bobby was little, like 3 or 4 or 5 years old, every Christmas he would buy Bobby a gift. And the only two criteria were that it had a million pieces and it was loud. That's because he knew Susan
Travis
and I would hate it, right? He bought him this helicopter one time that had to be this big, right?
Okay.
It was like an army helicopter that shot projectiles out of this thing. So it was not dangerous, but it had a million pieces and it had... It would play music like Apocalypse Now music, and it would say "Come out and fight!" and it would make this machine go. D-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d. It was the loudest damn thing, and he was so thrilled that Susan and I saw the box. We're like, "Oh my god!" And he's like, "Perfect."
I have
because he gets to leave at the end of the day.
No, my sisters are pretty good for Christmas, for birthdays. Like I ask them, what do you think they would like? And I always end up getting the cool stuff because they're like, okay, let him get
buy
that.
Buy the thing they're not supposed to have.
I know.
Buy him a bunch of makeup or something. That's what I don't know what the thing is they're not supposed to have, but buy that.
Got her a cell phone.
So perfect. Yes. Get them each a cell phone.
Pixel had a special.
buy one, get two free.
Also, I have ESPN Los Angeles tweeted out our picks from the chip draft. And then they also have a poll attached to the bottom. Does anyone want to guess who's leading in the poll?
It's probably a runaway. Slee. I took it.
It's actually Slee, yeah. Allen is leading with 33% of the votes. Then next is Travis with 28.2%.
I just voted 35%.
Then I'm with 20%. And then Taylor is 18%, which isn't surprising because Cheetos aren't a chip. So. Mm.
She's going to die on that hill, Al.
I am going to die on that hill. It's going to be a lovely hill with a nice little view that I have, and I'm going to eat my chips.
And a body.
First off, they screwed up, because there's a big difference between Flamin' Hot Cheetos and regular Cheetos.
Yeah,
and they did not give you the flame. They didn't give him the details.
I know, right? I said Flamin'.
He did say Flamin'.
It was my fault. I sent the list to Carlos. You can blame me. I'm just trying to sabotage.
She had the first pick.
She's rigging it.
Puts us 2 and 3, which we know are the worst picks.
Sorry, when I make the rules, I can bend the rules, okay?
But for hers, look at for hers, it says restaurant-style tortilla chips. There's 14 words to describe her chips.
Yeah, but he
said... But Taylor can't get flaming hot.
Exactly. All right, so opening day is right around the corner for the Dodgers, and everybody else for that matter. Dodgers open up on Saturday. Oh, that's the spring training schedule. Hold on. Stand by, Slee. Thursday, March 30th. 7 days.
Yeah.
They open up a week from today.
That's right, 1 week.
Against the Diamondbacks, who they play... 8 times in their first 10 games.
Padres got the
Literally.
Rockies.
Do they?
I don't know how often they have them, but I have a feeling it's going to be Rockies and Diamondbacks for the first month.
Okay, I'm looking at this right now. What was the ticket price for the WBC?
$185
is the average.
What do you think the low ticket is for opening day at Dodger Stadium? It says the ticket's as low as blank. What
$220.
Do you think?
Let me ask you, is it a day game or is it a night game?
It is a 7:10 first pitch, which is super weird. In my entire life, I can't remember the Dodgers opening at home at night. I don't ever remember it, but that's what they're doing. So it must be a TV thing.
I'll go low end, 160.
It's 100, which seems way too close to the championship game of the World Baseball Classic. Like, the opening day is fun, but it's not particularly meaningful as far as, like, the outcome of the game. It's just festive.
Yeah.
They put out bunting, and they line up on the foul lines, and then after that, it's just one of 162 games. Just seems weird. Anyway, the Dodgers have some new players. They got some guys coming back from injuries and everything else. Who's the guy that has to outkick his performance or step up more than you would expect? The Athletic was talking about this, and I think that it's a fairly obvious answer because it benefits the team and it benefits himself the most. Some of these, like Noah Syndergaard, needs to pitch well for Noah Syndergaard, right? He needs to resurrect his performance. And then there's other guys that need to pitch well. Chris Taylor has to play well for the Dodgers if the Dodgers are going to go. But as far as like for the individual and the team, it's got to be Julio, right? Because Julio's a free agent at the end of the year. He wants the bag. He will get the bag probably no matter what. But if he goes out there and is dominant, then he secures that. If the Dodgers need a number one guy to be the ace, to be the lockdown, every time he goes, we've got a great chance to win the game. They don't have that guy right now other than Julio. He needs to step into that role both for the team and for his individual finances.
So I think the definition, the reason why I wouldn't say a Mookie, the reason why I wouldn't say a Freddie, and the reason why I actually wouldn't say a Julio is because I'm already expecting them to deliver. That I already kind of feel like I already know what Julio is going to bring. I already know what Freddie Freeman is going to bring. I already know what Mookie. There's some question marks after that. I think I got somebody else in mind that's going to be critical for them.
All right, we'll do that next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We were recording our Licky during the break, Al, and you're like, can the OKC game tomorrow night be the biggest game of the year? Is Scott Foster going to be involved again tomorrow night? Is he in the house?
Foster and Paul.
Chris Paul going to be traded to the Thunder in time to make sure that goes a certain way? I'm going to just kind of look over here and pretend I didn't see what happened, but 42-20.
No, 46.
46, thank you. 46-20.
Yeah, that's weird.
14-4 in the fourth quarter.
That's weird.
It was 14-4 in the fourth quarter. But it's not. That's the part that is weird. Mm-hmm. That it isn't.
Give people the record and the Chris Paul, Scott Foster.
The Chris Paul. I think everybody knows. Mm-hmm. I think everybody knows that when Scott Foster officiates a Chris Paul game, Chris Paul's team usually loses, like at a rate that doesn't make any sense, in particular in the postseason. Last night, D'Angelo Russell made a joke about it. You were saying, Slee, he's like, hey, Scott Foster, y'all, Scott Foster. It's like the whole league, basketball fans know that Scott Foster and Chris Paul, odds of Chris Paul getting a call, odds of Chris Paul's team getting calls, the odds of Chris Paul's team winning are very, very low when he's involved in the game. And we all just kind of laugh at all. It's very peculiar to me that that's not a bigger deal.
Well, by the math, I think he has a 92% chance of losing that game. Listen, stop reaching, okay? You just got,
I know you're making a joke, but are you not, does it not bother you at all that there's a referee that has a personal vendetta against a player? That's not how it's supposed to go. The guy that, I forget the guy's name, Fred VanVleet, remember he went on the press conference and just torched that referee?
It's amazing.
They demoted that guy.
Mm.
Okay? So, but Foster's like, give me another Chris Paul game, you lose. That's not how it's supposed to go.
No, listen, I am joking around, but it's not okay. I was doing this in the postgame show without knowing the Scott Foster. I know that there's some history there, but I'm not going into games looking at who's refereeing the upcoming game for the Lakers and if it's this Scott Foster versus Chris Paul. Postgame, I said it, I don't know how many different times. Lakers won the game because of free throws.
Yeah.
They were plus 21 in free throws. You've done postgame shows. I've done post-game shows. You don't really talk about 46-20.
It's
a 26 free throw difference. Part of me also was looking it up too, because before even I'm in the middle of doing a post talking about this, blah, 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 free throws. Monty Williams then has his presser, and Monty Williams laid in for a good minute and a half and said, I'm done. Yeah. And he walked away. So it's
I think Chris Paul said it was weird. I think that's because he knows that everybody knows. There's no benefit in him, you know, saying, he did it again. He did it again. The guy hates my guts.
Yeah, that is.
Because that, why write that check when everybody already knows?
Yesterday we were talking about best commissioners in sports. I think we talked that Adam Silver's got a really, at least compared to some of these other ones. You also do not want to have storylines coming out of games where you have a player saying, it's Scott Foster. You don't want to have games where you have your head coaches or your players saying something's going on. Do you know the motion Luka made? There was something yesterday between the Luka and the Golden State Warriors. He went like this.
Yeah.
That's Luka. Okay? That's Luka doing that. That's not some random person doing that. And I'm not saying anything to it. What I'm saying is that perception, you never want to have, from a league perspective, a perception of that guy has something personal against that guy. This league wants that team to advance. You never want to have that, of course.
But it's the Luka thing, I think, is perfect because that was referee error. They screwed up last night. The referees screwed up the inbound play. It was a mess. But that was bad refereeing on one night. There's no track record of that referee sticking it to Luka over and over and over again. And that is the one that had everybody's attention. And the thing that was happening right across the street here, everybody's like, yep, that's just what happens with those two guys. It's deeply, deeply not okay. And it's odd. Who's the guy on the Dodgers that you think needs to overperform?
So, okay, the argument that the Julio argument, he is an unrestricted free agent at the end of this year, right? And he is represented by Scott Boras. And there has been some kind of interesting narratives around how they've used Julio. There also hasn't been conversations that it seems like, hey, look, guys, we're going to get a deal done with Julio. It's just a matter of time. But I expect Julio to be great. Why wouldn't I expect him to be great? He has been great for the Dodgers. Even when, whether Scherzer was there, whether Kershaw's healthy, whether Buehler's healthy, he's actually been the one that kind of has stood alone on his own as he's been the most consistent Dodger that showed up night in and night out. So I don't want to overvalue his importance because I already feel like he's important. I already feel like he's going to come through. Mookie, I feel like, is going to come through. Freddie Freeman, I feel like he's going to come through. Muncy, to me, is the name that sticks out of if Muncy can have a season. This is what you have to replace this year, and I'm not saying one person's going to do it. You got to replace Trey Turner. You got to replace Gavin Lux. You have to replace Justin Turner. And you have to replace, I'm not going to put Cody.
I think you do. I think you do.
Okay, then I just, those are four really key players to the Dodgers. And you're hoping that Max Muncy, as along with Will Smith and Chris Taylor and some of these, all these other players, but I think Muncy is the one that I wouldn't be shocked if Muncy had a season where he hit 35 home runs, batted 280, was just a really dangerous person in that lineup. I think he's going to be the most critical.
He's important for sure, but I think it's Julio because you left one part out about it. I expect him to be all-star caliber good too. I expect him to get the bag at the end of the season. He is going to get the ball on opening night against the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's their number one guy. But it's the first time he's had to carry the weight of that. I think he can do it. I'm not saying that he's going to buckle under the weight of the expectations, but he's never had to do it, right? For the previous 10 years, Clayton Kershaw was the guy that took the ball on opening day, and if you needed a losing streak stopper, if you needed a guy that's like, hey, everybody relax, we got Kersh tonight, you knew you're going to win the game. And then last year, and maybe the year before that, it had transitioned into, if not officially on the opening day status, it had transitioned into Walker Buehler was that guy. Walker Buehler is the guy that takes the ball in the postseason. Yep. You go back to the World Series against the Rays, the Dodgers won it in Game 6, but I think even knowing that Walker Buehler was waiting to pitch Game 7 gave the Dodger players and gave the Dodger fans a
that
great
comfort.
Deal of comfort knowing that our very best guy is waiting. Julio's your very best guy right now. He's never had to be. He was always the guy that, oh, wow, look at Julio's really carrying his weight. Now, he had expectations coming in. He's an incredibly talented guy. But to your point, this is a guy, we'll pitch him out of the bullpen. We'll use him as a middle guy. We'll use him as the closer in the World Series. That he was kind of a jack of all trades that you had here. And now this is, last year was the first season where they basically said, you're going to pitch every 5 days. You are just one of our most important pitchers, and we're going to treat you like it. Now they've actually elevated him a step beyond that, which is you are our most important pitcher. You're going to be healthier than Kershaw. You're more experienced than May and Gonsolin. You're more reliable than Noah Syndergaard. This is the first time the weight of being that guy is on his plate, and I think that's significant.
Do you feel, because I think the way you set it up was great, and I don't really feel like the mounting pressure on Julio, I don't really have kind of a hesitation that he can't step into that role and say, yeah, sounds good. I've been waiting for this.
I think he has been waiting for it. Mm-hmm. And I think that brings it to the next thing, right, which is, did the Dodgers kind of blow this a little bit? Did by doing all of the other things, hey, we need you pitch out of the bullpen. They never asked those other guys really to do that. He was, and, you know, at the time it was, well, he can, he has, that his versatility allows them to do those things that, you know, there's a reason Ohtani had never pitched out of the bullpen until a couple of nights ago. It's not what he does. Mm-hmm. Julio had done all these things, but having the organization, having the team say, you're a guy, it's meaningful. They're mm-hmm. not, they haven't told him that until right now. It's been, you're one of our guys, mm-hmm. but you're not our guy. And right now he has to be their guy. I think you're right. I think he's going to step up to it. But if they don't have him now, who does it go to? Kershaw is not healthy enough.
Yeah.
Bueller's unavailable.
Yep. Dustin Gonsolin, May, you're kind of waiting to see. I'm not sure what he is. Gonsolin, you have said, show me again. Can I ask you a question?
Syndergaard is a reclamation project.
Is this a baseball thing or is this just a Dodger thing? Why do I feel like the Dodgers have had players where the writing's on the wall and nobody can do anything about it?
What do you mean?
I feel like Seager, the writing was on the wall. I feel like Trey Turner, the writing was on the wall. And just the way we're kind of describing Julio, there's a little bit of, is the writing on the wall for Julio as well? And I feel like there's kind of like no way to stop it. And I don't feel like there's enough chatter and what the hell. No, you got to do everything you can to lock up this guy right now. Why do I feel like there's a little bit of that?
Julio, there's a whole another reason to this, too, that because Julio Urias is Mexican and pitches in Los Angeles, and the Dodgers have such a heavy Mexican and Mexican-American fan base,
yeah.
He's an incredibly important part of not just being a really good team because he's awesome, but the culture of the team. He brings a whole additional element to that I think is really significant and important. I feel better about him staying than Seager felt like he was leaving all along. When they threw Trey Turner into that deal, you're like, Seager's gone.
So the writing was on the wall there.
For Seager. Mm-hmm. Turner, the fact that no one said he's staying for sure or we're getting close, the only thing you ever heard is he really loves the Dodgers, but he likes the East Coast. Mm-hmm. That was a bit of a tell. There's nothing on Julio. This is the only thing he's known. This is a great city for him for all the reasons that we've talked about.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're going to pay him. Right. Look, if they nickel and dime him, which I don't think they do, he's going to leave. He's a Scott Boras client. He's going to get what's coming his way. I don't think the Dodgers are going to nickel and dime him. I think they'll pay him. I think he stays. I wouldn't bet my car on it, like you not getting a corn dog on the way out of Disneyland. But I think he's more likely to stay than not. Because where do you want to go? Where are you going to go that is a better fit? Assuming the money is right, where are you going to go?
What I guess my point is that you're playing with some fire here, right?
Yeah.
That you get to the – and listen, maybe it's all just part of negotiations. Maybe there'll be a point at this season where it's like, hey, listen to what they're saying. Julio's making it sound like he's going to stay. The front office is making it sound like he's going to stay. But it has a similar narrative to, I think, what we saw with those other two players where there's nothing –
You're not wrong.
There's nothing definite there, you know?
You're not wrong. No, it would be nice if, look, we're not even going to let him get there. They Trouted it, right? And he's not Trout, but if they said, we're not even going to let him get to free agency. We got this done. We did a five-year deal. It's worth, you know, 150, I don't know what the number is, $200 million. Mm-hmm. Great. We're done. He's going to be here for the next 7 years. That would be a –
It's kind of waiting nice, for that, and it's
– It wouldn't have been a – I guess to your, it wouldn't have been a surprise, and that it's not done. Maybe Boras guy's hit the market, though, too. He gets his – Because once they're on the market, now it's
a bidding war.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
Don't let Cohen get in here.
Sure.
Don't let Seidler get in here. Let's just get it done before. I understand it, but risk too. The Dump coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. I may have lost a bet, Emily. I think Slee might be talking himself into a corn dog on
so
the way
good.
Out.
Yes.
You come in, you're like, Trav,
there's
corn
two
dogs.
Things that I used to get third-degree burns on eating.
Hot pockets.
Hot pockets and corn dogs.
Pizza? You never that pizza right out of the box?
Pizza,
if you're the
at
first
least,
stop from Domino's.
You're not wrong. The pizza is very, and then the cheese gets stuck on the roof of your mouth as it's burning you.
It's like you're getting branded.
No,
it's you get the Pizza Hut brand on the roof of your mouth.
That's again, this is funny. What you do. You get the corn dog as you're leaving.
Yeah.
Depending on where you park your car, you mm-hmm. you have it on the bus. You eat it while you're waiting in the like to
on
get
the bus.
Out of the park. To get out of the parking lot, you're not allowed to eat on the bus.
Okay.
But as you're waiting, you know, there's probably going to be a line getting out of the parking lot because I don't know how long you're going to stay. But you eat in your car on your way home.
Okay, can we just be honest here with each other?
No.
When you're on the bus and you're on your way to the car,
yeah.
You don't take a bite?
Like, no, just not a chance. Small bite? I am a rule follower. Again, like this earlier today.
It's not that you're not a rule follower. It's just
I take a sneaky
self-control,
bite.
You know?
Yeah. That's a breakable rule in my world.
I might do it sometimes in the line for the bus because because I might be hungry and I'm smelling
sure,
it, but I
sure.
usually just put it in my backpack.
So this has a little bit to do with what we're talking. There comes a point in your life where you realize there are rules that are there and you're supposed to follow the rules. I get it. And then there are rules like, A, this is a dumb rule and no one's going to stop me if I break the rule.
No one's going to stop me to go
the
get my second
sample at
Costco.
The bus driver is not
going to
pull over on the side of the road and do something about you eating it. Like you just realize, like this morning, I'm on the freeway. I'm coming up to work, right? And I'm going about 75, maybe a little bit closer to 80.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize I pull up right next to a highway patrol guy who's going about the same speed as I am. And we kind of look at each other and it's like, yeah, he's not going to stop me.
No.
Like I'm just right on that edge because that's a lot of where it's raining. Like he's got to get out of the rain. Like he wants mm-hmm. somebody going 100. Mm-hmm. He's not looking for me. He's looking for you who's going a little faster than that. That there's just those times you realize like I know where the line is and this rule I can break this one.
Yeah, just don't be crazy.
Right.
That's it. Just don't be crazy.
Bus driver pulls over. Ma'am. Did I see you take a bite of that corn dog back in row Q?
At that point, I'm okay to get kicked off.
Food on the train and on the bus, and like I don't want everything to smell like everybody's food. You know, that's the issue.
You are a good citizen and a member of society that was following
an airplane.
I appreciate that. Just bring your tuna sandwich onto an airplane. What's the big deal?
Unbelievable.
What's that? A salmon wrap? Cool. Heat it up and bring it on the airplane. Who says no? Blockbusters, according to something that Emily saw, may be making a comeback, right? Their website has been rebooted. Their Twitter account has been reactivated. And there obviously is still the one left in Bend, Oregon. But Emily, you're saying there may be kind of like a retro thing going on here?
So here's where I think that this is the staging of a smallish comeback. So I feel like it's something where they'll do. They have the one in Bend, Oregon, but like they might add one in Los Angeles. They might
want
to add one in New York.
So that's the only location right now is the last one.
It's Bend, Oregon. Actually, my friend who's visiting, she has a friend in Bend, Oregon, so she has a Blockbuster card still. So anyway, she showed it to me the other day. But anyway, I think millennials like to be nostalgic, like to look back on their their movie going days with their family. So I think that they could profit off of.
But is it hipster ironic? Like, hey, you know what we should do? Let's go down to Blockbuster and rent a DVD. It'll be hilarious.
Yeah,
is that what it is?
It's kind of like that. Sometimes like the actual viewing is better, like on a Blu-ray or something like that. Is kind of nice. So like I go to the Alamo Draft House here in downtown Los Angeles, and they have this thing called the Video Vortex attached to the movie theater where you can rent DVDs and also rent DVD players / Blu-ray players. And I guess you just have to return them or whatever. But people use that all the time at that place. At the
so that's going to be the key to it. I'm not opposed to, you know, you still got record shops. You still got like that stuff. And there is, especially in certain...
The quality's better.
But forget the quality. There is a... This is takes me back old school. This is unique. It's different. But what you just said about I'm going to also need the device to play the DVD
right.
on. Like you got to rent all that. And if that's the case and you're walking through a Blockbuster and there's only let's say there's one location in LA, okay, I could see that. But
I could be talking out of my ear here, but don't all those video game systems play DVDs? I think they all do.
Yeah, almost all of them.
Like so you have the device. You have a console in your house? No?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't either.
Do not have
but what are your roommates?
Video games.
Do you have a male roommate?
I used to have a male roommate. He moved out.
But think about that. Yeah. Not a lot of people. I know there's a lot of people that have gaming systems, but there's also a lot of people that don't. I'm going to need the actual. You can't just rent me the movie. You also got to rent me the system.
Also, I would
in a room to watch it. Here's a screening room. We're going to roll up a trailer, park it in front of your house. It's got the theater seats, the popcorn machine, the soda machine, the kid in the little paper hat that's dealing it out. The whole thing.
But I'm going to say I would rent a VHS player because I do think that there is the nostalgic factor of watching something on something with a VHS player because it looks different. It looks like your old childhood movies, like the Disney Channel.
It's Disney called Blockbuster.
Stuff.
Tonight, the tournament cranks back up again. Michigan yep. State and Kansas State get going in about 2.5 hours from right now, but the big one is tonight. Gonzaga, UCLA, 2 versus 3, 6:45 tonight. UCLA's got a chance to go back to the Final Four. Gonzaga always seemingly
in the mix
to go to the Final Four. There's history between UCLA and Gonzaga. Go back to Adam Morrison and those teams a few years ago. You go back. Who was the guy for Gonzaga that knocked down that – practically a half. Suggs?
Was it? Yeah, he's on Suggs. He's on Orlando, I think.
He knocked out a big shot. Like, this is a really, like, if there were a game that was sexy as far as two really good teams, well, for college basketball, two really good teams, good brands with history, this is the one.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. And I don't know how you're going to be at 6:30 tonight. I don't know if you're going to go out of your way and you're going to watch it.
Tonight.
I think for me, if I was home tonight, I would kind of. Yeah. Go back and forth, kind of check out the score.
Happy birthday to Kyrie, Slee. Kyrie turns 31 years old today. 31st birthday for Kyrie Irving. Yeah. You know, it's funny.
Younger than I thought.
It's about where I would have had him. I don't know if I would have thought right around 30.
Yeah.
You know, he's done that thing where the first thing you think about when you hear his name is not that he's a good basketball player. That's not a good place to be in. Like, there are guys that you think of, like with LeBron James, there's movies, there's his activism, there's a lot of things you think about. What do you think of LeBron? You're like, oh, yeah, he's one of the greatest players of all time. Like, it's just, he's a basketball player and a great one. Magic Johnson, who's been successful at 10,000 other things in his life. Hey, what do you think about him? Oh, you mean the guy that was on the Lakers that was awesome? With Kyrie, he's like, yeah, that dude's weird.
Kyrie should have been, arguably, every time you think about him, oh yeah, he put the biggest shot in NBA Finals history.
It was right up there.
One of those.
It was one of those shots.
Do you think there's a team this offseason, he becomes unrestricted free agent, you think he gets a max deal somewhere?
Yes, I do. Now, whether it's a good deal or not is a totally different conversation. But look, the line always is it only takes one.
Corn dog.
You only have to have one person. The other thing is, there are a lot of really crazy owners who do crazy things, and everybody thinks that, oh, no, I know how to fix this. Mm-hmm. That guy's not.
Well, Russ, he got his max contract and played with 5 teams in 5 years.
It could happen all over again. Today, 2007, Kobe Bryant scored 50 points for a fourth consecutive game, joining who else, of course, who's done that? The answer is always
Wilt Chamberlain.
And Wilt Chamberlain is the other guy
that
had 54
Evans.
In a row. Yeah. Michael told me that, I don't know, 8-9 years ago. And the answer is always, who's the only player to blank? It's always Wilt Chamberlain if it's an NBA record. And Kobe in this case.
Every time they throw up some of those historical stats that they have, and it has anything to do with points, rebounds, something like that, it's this player has done it. He's one of 10 players to ever do it. And then 7 of them are Wilt. One's Kareem, one Shaq.
That's about what it is. Let's do a little Supercross talk. All right, for a couple of orders of business that we need to get to. First of all, happy birthday, Mace.
Mace, your birthday?
Yeah. Thank you.
26 again?
No, 58, and I love it.
All right, 58, and you love it. That's good news.
It's awesome.
Any plans?
You know, I've got dealer's choice on dinner tonight. I got it narrowed down to like 5 restaurants. I'm not sure which one.
Does Juan make the ultimate decision?
No, okay. I guess I'm the dealer. That doesn't make any sense. I'm the dealer.
You threw me off. I'm like, dealer.
I guess it's player's choice.
What are the 5 options?
5 options, steak, seafood,
Italian. Mexican?
No Mexican.
No? Okay.
I guess it's steak, seafood, Italian.
Okay.
I think those
are you leaning one way or the other?
I'm leaning seafood. There's a really cool place we go to called Tangaroa Fish Market, and they do this crab broil where it's got like oysters and crab and mussels and fish and all. I mean, all this, and it's in a net, and you cut it open.
Oh, that's the best.
There's
potatoes and corn
in there. Potatoes and corn.
Yeah,
there
you go.
Yeah,
Mace has 9 reservations on Open Table. He's going to have to cancel 8 of them.
Bail on something. Bail on something.
Those boils like that, those are so good.
Oh, so
they're
good.
They're so good.
We used to have clam bakes when I was a kid.
Oh, okay.
Clam bakes were the best.
So as a L.A. native, this was something completely foreign to me.
Yeah.
Right? And then I went to New Orleans for the first time, and they brought out a crawfish boil.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And they bring it out of the pot, and they make the, and they cut the bag open. It goes all over the table.
Yes.
I never had that.
It's awesome.
Where has this been my whole life?
I need that setup.
Oh, yeah. My God. It's amazing.
I should go
Tangaroa Fish Market. Unsolicited plug. Great place. There great
you
spot.
You won. And Alan, go on.
Yeah, Al, you want to come over for a little crab roll?
It sounds pretty good.
I'm just
good.
At the table right next to them. Juan, I won't say a thing.
Yeah,
I won't
yeah.
say a thing.
Just dig in. Dig in.
Did you happen to tell Juan the IV story that you asked about yesterday on Ask Travis? Because I know he and I were at Santa Barbara at the exact same time.
Right. Oh, the when's the last? Well,
the drunkest I ever was in IV. That was your question, right?
What? Yeah, that was.
Yeah.
Juan says that at UCSB, he majored in accounting and drugs. Those were his two.
Those were popular
majors.
Classes.
So there were many,
his
many.
Emphasis
stories.
Was on yeah. drugs.
Yeah,
he's a minor in accounting.
Yeah, minor in accounting. Exactly right. So no, he partied a lot.
By the way, were you surprised that was the story? I still to this. Yesterday, he explains the story. Okay, I don't know if you got a chance to hear it.
Did you hear my answer, Mace?
I didn't. I texted that to Emily. I don't even know the answer.
Should I tell it again?
Yeah. Set it up.
So I was 19, mm-hmm. and I got my hands on my first ever fake ID.
Nice.
Okay.
At 19.
Wow.
Yeah, I was a rule follower until then.
We started younger.
Yeah.
I didn't go to a bar until I was 25. I wanted to make sure I could have I could rent a car, too.
So it's the first week of school. Everybody filters back up to Santa Barbara, and I have this ID.
Yep.
And Juan will remember these places. There's a place called Javon's that was like sandwiches and burgers, but they had very cheap pitchers of beer.
Got it.
So we started with cheap pitchers of beer at Javon's. Then we moved over to the Grad. Okay, it was called the Graduate.
Okay.
And they had a thing. I forget what night of the week it was, Wednesdays or Thursdays, doesn't matter. And they had a thing that was called Countdown. And at 8 o'clock, you would get one drink for $2. Okay.
Okay.
At 9 o'clock, you would get two drinks for $2.
Okay.
At 10 o'clock, you would get three drinks for $2 all the way until they close at midnight.
Wow.
The drinks would get cheaper the deeper into the night that you would go.
So what, 11 o'clock?
You'd get four drinks for $2.
Four drinks.
So it got.
Wow. That's a recipe for nothing.
Yeah,
going
I was
going
to say, that sounds crazy.
So that this is the beginning of this story, not a huge surprise. So we go to Countdown. Like I said, we'd just gotten back to school. So I had bought some new clothes going back to school that year. And I bought a pair of shoes that I liked a great deal. They were like, I don't remember the brand, but I liked them a lot.
Yeah,
nice new shoes for me. Very excited to wear them out one of the first nights that were there. Go to the Javon's. Go to Countdown. Have way too many 4-for-1s at this point. And I decide it's time for me to go home.
Yeah.
I go back to my apartment that I've been in for 2 or 3 days. Misplaced my keys. They're gone. Can't find them. I'm like, well, looks like I'm sleeping on the front porch until my roommate comes home. Fall asleep, and I don't know, could have been an hour, could have been 10 minutes. Wake back up, door still locked. I'm cold. I have to find a place to go to sleep. Keep in mind, I have a car at Santa Barbara, but this never crosses my mind to go to my own car. I say, I'm going to go get into my roommate's car to sleep. His car is unlocked. I get into the back seat. Unfortunately, I get sick.
Yep.
Okay, so the next morning,
in his
roommate's car. I go to my buddy. I'm like, listen, man, I'm really sorry, but this is what happened. I'm going to clean it up. I'll get it detailed. And he's like, oh, man, you're such a blankety-blankety-blank.
Yeah.
You know, what's the matter with you? And he goes to get his car. He comes back. He goes, there's nobody in my car.
Really?
I'm like, wait, what? No. There was, you need to go look again. I 100% was in your car. I know it was your car. And he goes back and goes, Trav, there's nothing in my car. I look down, like 3 or 4 cars down the parking lot, the exact same car.
Just a stranger's car.
No.
Stranger's car.
The exact same
Ralphed
car.
Ralphed in a stranger's car.
And at some point in the night, I lost my shoes. Still to this day, they never turned up.
Tradition of Bobby.
I was just going to say.
They never turned up. But I left the evening with my shoes on, unlike Bobby. But they just disappeared at some point.
I wonder if that bar is still doing that special.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
It's a classroom now.
Is it really?
Off-campus lecture hall.
So much was learned there, yeah.
You probably took the shoes off before getting in the car because you didn't want to be rude.
I didn't want to scuff up the floor mats. Yeah, that's how it was. So that's the answer to the question. You can share that with Juan. We had a Today's National Chip and Dip Day.
Oh, yeah.
And Emily came unglued because Taylor chose Cheetos. She insists that those are not a chip.
No, they're not a chip. Cheetos aren't a chip.
They're on the chip
Flamin' rack hot at the gas
Cheetos. Yeah, I always thought they were a chip.
They're not a chip.
Cheetos
they're
are not a chip.
They're a little wad of cheese. They're not a
There's
chip.
There's not an ounce of cheese anywhere near those
Yeah,
things.
Well, I mean, cheese chemicals. Food product. Yeah. No, but I mean, those are not a chip.
So you would have thought in your head immediately, yeah, that can't be in the draft or category of a chip?
Instantaneously.
Really?
Cheetos not a chip.
I would have never thought that.
They're a chip.
Emily feels so good right now. Look at her smiling.
They're on
over
the
there.
Gas station chip feels rack. So they're good. A chip.
They're like an adopted chip. Like, right. They're in the chip family, but they were adopted, or they're almost like a pet. They're like a pet in the chip world because, you know, like humans raise a different animal, but they're part of the family. Because, like,
so it's like.
Like a wolf raising a stray child.
Yeah. I mean, they're like the cocker spaniel of the chip world. Because, I mean, they are, you're correct, in that aisle.
Yeah.
But you don't functionally use them in any way that you normally would use a chip.
A chip.
But
right.
When you go through the gas station, you put the gas in the car, you go inside, you grab a Coke or a coffee or whatever it is, and you want a little salty snack, all of those same things are on the same shelf.
Pretzel's not
right,
a chip.
But sure it is.
Right,
no, I would say pretzel's not a chip. I fall
thing,
on that one.
You're conflating the chip rack with the salty rack. Like, all of these things are actually just salty snacks. They're not chips.
So is a Pringle a chip?
Yes.
Pringle is a chip.
Pringle
is
a chip.
Not according to the U.S. government. It's
corn,
not.
She just pointed, corn nuts, not a chip.
Yeah, in this yeah, sense,
and they're on the same salty rack as the...
Pringles, as defined by the case Big Chip v. Pringles,
yeah.
Has to identify as a crisp.
Was there actually a lawsuit?
There was.
That's a legal thing. Like, it's functionally the same thing. Like, they're not
crisp.
Fooling anyone.
Crisp.
Like, over Big Lay's, they're not fooling anybody.
You know that what that chip, the Pringles chip, the shape of it is?
Like duck lips.
Hectabalon. A hectabalon is that actual.
That
I made
wavy.
That up. I totally made that
I
up. Say,
I feel like you were
I'm
a
sure
map
it has
guy.
A shape. I'm sure like it has a shape. I'm sure the name.
If you didn't say you made lips. It up, I would be telling people after the show. Well, so this, anyway. I don't know if you know about this.
Still yeah, want to know
exactly. It's a hectabalon.
Like yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah, no, Pringle. The best.
Really?
I love Pringles.
Pringles, I told him that was in my list. That was my
yeah,
part
Pringles
of my
ranking.
Yeah,
Pringles on my Pringles power rankings for sure.
Why not
yeah.
just eat like wax lips or sex wax or something like that?
Because I can't buy them in the chip aisle.
Much
not
less
they're
salt.
Not salty. Yeah,
not there.
They're not salty.
Okay, I got an NBA question for you guys. Last night, the Lakers beat the Suns. Good.
Yes.
They needed it desperately. Scott Foster, Chris Paul, the whole here we go again. 46
yep.
to 20, Slee? Is that what it is?
46 free
20.
Throws for the Lakers.
46 to 20, 14 to 4 in the fourth quarter.
Yep. Monty Williams walks out in his presser.
He just goes 46-20. See ya.
And it was Scott Foster and Chris Paul
yep.
all over again.
Sure.
Why do we just accept that as the price of the business in the
end. Oh, like, boy. That is, here we go.
No, no, no.
Andy.
That is deeply.
We need conspiracy theory.
Not
music.
Okay.
I know.
And we just kind of shrug our shoulders like, yep, Scott Foster
for
got him again.
Look, it's for the same reason that the NBA will both shoot down conspiracy theories about the draft and frozen envelopes and stuff like that, but also make sure that we never stop talking about it. It's a long season, man. You need things to talk about over the course of a year.
This
year
is a talking
out.
Point
yes.
designed
yes.
by the NBA?
Yeah. I'm not saying it's designed by the NBA. I'm saying this is the reason why you don't do the obvious thing, which is don't let Scott Foster referee games that Chris Paul is in. Like, it's an easily solved problem
right.
if you actually want to solve it.
But why don't they want to solve it, I guess, is my question. Because I understand narratives. I understand you want eyeballs. I understand
yep.
you want storylines. I get it. But it inherently alters the spirit of competition.
I don't know. I mean,
he never wins when that guy's
right,
on the court.
It is true. He never wins.
He at some.
What'd you say the record? You said it was like 1-12.
It was
or?
1-12 in the playoffs. It's 1-12.
Right, but here's
Chris
the
Paul's
thing,
on good teams. They're not going 1-12 against anybody.
I mean, everybody says that, except Chris Paul also has a reputation as the guy that can never get it done, and you can't build a team around him because he's too small as a point guard to do this stuff.
Andy, I'm with you on all of that. I'm not saying he can't have a losing record. I'm not saying he can't lose the series
My
every time.
My point is, people would say he doesn't need Scott Foster's help. He can choke this thing away himself.
Yeah,
thank
no,
you
there's
very
a good
much.
Point. Not, there's a good
you can't have
away.
This both ways.
It's altered. It's altered.
Look, the two of them are miserable people.
Right. They don't
who
they
deserve
just
each other.
Don't like each other.
Right.
Right? And we all have people in your workplace that you just don't like.
I agree with you, but you also don't have somebody in your workplace that where the dynamic is one person has an incredible amount of power to dictate the outcome to you, and you have no recourse for it just because it's personal like that. Where it's supposed to be equitable.
John threw a trophy!
Yeah, no, it's
but
true!
But where it's supposed to be equitable. The idea of these things is there's going to be mistakes, it may be slightly tilted one way or the other, but it's so remarkably lopsided.
I just think they need to go to HR. Just go to HR and work it out.
That's how you take care of it?
Yeah, that's how I would handle it. No, I mean, hey, we'll take it.
I'm not throwing it back. Don't get me wrong. I'm not throwing it back, but I guess I'm alone in this one.
And he's got some fancy explanation that he's going to tell you later on. Oh, no. He's going to tell you later on. So it takes about 5 minutes, but it's really good.
It really doesn't take that long. It just took you 5 minutes to read it.
Oh, you wrote it out? It was a very long text.
You want me to show you the bubble of the text? It ain't that long.
Dude, let me ask you this. Do you have to scroll through it along the way?
No.
So it fits in one screen.
It does fit in one screen.
Okay.
Here. Slow of a reader.
See, my mind went numb in the midst of it.
Okay, see the larger of the two blue squares? Yeah. That's the whole thing. That's not very long.
You okay? No, that's not long. Yeah, sure.
That's not that long.
No, it's not. It's long for me.
It's a lot. I would read TLDR. Probably half of it. I'd stop. Go
text
get something
are
to
supposed
eat.
To be short, right? Even Momo's text messages are
She's
short.
She's very succinct on text.
On text, yes.
Yes, she is.
Okay, like, I will say
you're
this.
Wrong.
If I,
no.
I know different.
If I'm going to send a long text, then I pick up the phone and I just call him. Ooh. Right? Like instead of the long text.
I don't want to talk to you on the phone.
I would rather
I don't want to talk
hit
to you
the red button and say, text back, what?
Yeah, what?
But you would rather write a long text than just have the conversation with somebody?
I don't want to have a conversation with anybody.
Yeah, I just don't want to.
Please don't. Please don't. Don't call me. I mean, I'm just going to be. Don't call me. I'm not answering the phone.
Slee's going to Disneyland this afternoon with his nieces.
Hey!
Yeah. Yeah, right after.
Happiest place on earth.
The Sleeces.
So, I haven't been since pre-COVID. Have you been in a while?
I'm not a Disneyland guy. I know I work for Disney, all that stuff. I don't have kids. I'm not a fan.
Yeah. Not even just a
kids
nice
everywhere
walk,
screaming, and they got ears
Juan,
on.
Juan's a fan or not?
Riding the Matterhorn, whatever the hell's going on here. Not into it.
Should put that in the commercial.
Steve Mason for Disneyland.
There goes that live endorsement.
So, now do you like Disneyland?
No.
He's on your team.
Yeah, I'm okay with not going, but this, they've never been. They're already down there now. So today I'll look forward to. Plus, I don't have to be there right when it opens, all the way till it ends.
You have to stay for the fireworks?
No, I don't think they'll be staying that long. They got to drive back to San Diego tonight, so I think they'll leave before
I took
then.
My niece to Disneyland once. It was like a friggin' hostage. a hostage situation. It was so. I just cannot do it.
Summer?
No. Okay. You saying summer?
No, I'm saying was it in the middle of the summer when you guys
went?
It
was whenever it was.
That's
it
brutal.
So the summer
brutal.
Disneyland trip is a more arduous adventure.
Because it's really packed, right?
And it's hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really it's hot and it's hard to find shade and air conditioning.
Yeah.
But Slee, you'll have a good time.
$14 waters.
How old are your nieces and nephews and all that?
8 and 6 are
eight
these two
six.
Nieces.
They're great at that age. There. So... I say that no matter how old the kids are. How old are your kids, Annie?
I only have one, and she's going to be 12
in
April.
That's a
great
age.
At that age. That's such a fun age.
How about 22, 19, and 17?
Oh, that's so much
so
fun.
So cute.
So adorable.
They're just
at that
adorable.
Age. Yeah.
You just want to pick them up and snuggle them nonstop. Super Crosstalk is powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger is all about. Mason and Ireland coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.